KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
As the wonderful man said, this is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
Ara is here with me, but Rich is not. He will be here soon.
Not yet.
No, it'll be here soon. Is it unprofessional to have a radio show where the hosts aren't all there?
Well, normally, but it's Rich you're talking about.
We've given him some slack lately. Is he that valuable that we should allow him to come in late?
Well, we give him a lot of slack, don't we?
I guess.
But that lets us make fun of him, too. So.
All right. Well, if you want to be our next co-host, apparently all you have to do is listen to the show and talk to us. So head over to chatterboxgameshow.com, learn a little bit more about the show. There's a link to our forums on there. You can also join in with a live chat that we do during the show. I'm actually not even logged in right now, but I will be in a moment.
That's right. Maybe even you can be verbally berated live on air on a routine basis.
We do that from time to time. So you can hear me typing. I'm going on to the website, chatterboxgameshow.com. I'm going to enter the live chat.
That's just how good a radio show we are. You can actually hear our keyboard typing.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we talk about video games and the video game industry. I'd like to start off, if I've been playing some video games, discussing what particular games I've been playing. And lately, well, there's been a few things. Like, I finally got my hands on my very own copy of Guitar Hero World Tour. But what I've actually played lately was some Mirror's Edge. Right?
Yes.
That game came out a while ago, but I never really played it much. I played the demo.
It's like one of those new-to-you things.
Yeah. Yeah, you do that a lot, actually.
And well, yeah, because I used to care about being on the ball, and as it were, and now I really don't, and I like to get things for cheap. So, you know.
Well, at least we'll have a whole episode where I don't really talk about Street Fighter 4. So, anyway, I was playing Mirror's Edge.
I would enjoy that.
And so. Mirror's Edge?
I played Mirror's Edge.
Yeah!
Yeah. So
this is... Maybe not. I don't know if you like it or not.
Well, Rich is so loud that all four mics are picking him up now.
Yeah!
All right, so here's the thing. I played Mirror's Edge, and I liked the demo when I played it. I played the real game, and that was good, too. Now, Ara, you were saying you weren't a huge fan of it, and I pointed out that I had some concerns as well.
Yeah, it was funny how you described it as, I'd like to... try it more, or what was the exact word you used?
I don't remember what.
I played it some, but I haven't played enough to form an opinion.
I didn't say that. I haven't played it enough, just because I need to keep playing.
Yeah, so
I definitely
I had no such feeling after playing the demo. I never said to myself at one point, I need to play this more.
Okay, so I have two concerns, and they actually happened in the same chapter 2, around the same area. There's a part where you go like. Deep down into some sewer or something, right?
And you have like to... the cylinder where you have to like go down all these moving parts.
Yeah,
like
but a... what's more important is when you get down, you've got to get back up.
Which was awesome.
All right, so here's the thing.
Yeah, we all know Rich loves this
one
game.
Good thing about this game is that there's a lot of... Like, there's not one specific path you can take. There's a lot of them. And the whole premise of the game, by the way, is that you're a free runner, otherwise known as parkour, right? Where you like jump all over benches and railings and climb up walls and stuff like that. It's kind of like what they tried to do in what's that game by Ubisoft?
Ass Creed.
Yeah, Ass Creed.
Nice.
Assassin's Creed tried to incorporate free running, but I don't know why, because they would only let you run perpendicularly up a wall, which isn't very free running style. Anyway, so this game is all about free running. That is the absolute focus. And so you're this girl named Faith. You run around all over crap. So there's this part. You go down into the big cylinder thing Rich was talking about. Then you have to basically come up the other side of it and out another cylinder, I presume. But while you're down there, you've got to run across all these like slim platforms that eventually you climb up some ladders, you climb in some more platforms, you jump over some, and then you climb up some more ladders. And of course, if you miss a jump or something, then you fall all the way down and you have to start over again. So there's one part where I was way at the bottom and I just climbed whatever ladder I found, right? May not have been the first ladder I was supposed to be on, right? So I was basically coming in midway through this labyrinth of platforms and ladders and stuff. So I climb up and I don't realize that I'm going the wrong way. I just see I'm up and now I want to cross
And I guess
this...
neither does the game,
no,
right?
No. Well, usually the game tells you where to go by making certain objects that you should interact with red.
Right.
You can turn that option off, but you know, it's usually on, right? So I would, there was one of those, but it was actually behind these other things that were not red, so I couldn't see it. I just thought, okay, I need to get past these things. And this game is all about running and jumping over stuff. So simple small boxes, you should be able to jump over. So there were like three small boxes stacked on top of each other, which were just high enough to prevent you from jumping over them by yourself. There was a wall next to it, so you think I could run along the wall and jump it. But yes, everything was like too small and compact an area.
You found yourself backstage where you weren't supposed to
be. Yeah. The fact is, apparently you're not supposed to jump over this. And I thought to myself, this game is all about free running, which involves a lot of jumping.
It's as long as you go where you're supposed to,
you can
it's
climb
all
up,
about free running.
You can climb up 15-foot high walls. You can swing from bar to bar in ways that aren't so like scripted that it's like from this bar you will go to this bar, right? It's a little bit more free than that, hence free running. And I had to like continually tap in a frustrating way, and eventually, because of unintentional collisions, I was able to get over these boxes.
You will not accept the game's admonition that, no, you are in the wrong place. Yes. Do not go here.
Eventually, I got over it, and then I saw, oh, wait, there's a red box on the other side that's lower,
yeah,
which clearly means you're supposed to use that to vault over these other boxes. So I thought, oh, I must be going in the wrong direction. Let me go back around where I just was a minute ago. But anyway, I was frustrated by that.
Well, at least you were astute enough to figure that out.
Now, eventually, I get back up this thing. I'm supposed to get up. And there's a bunch of guys waiting for you with shotguns. And earlier in the game, it points out you should always avoid fighting people. Right? Like, if you can, you're supposed to just run away.
Because they couldn't spend enough time developing their AI routines.
No, it's important. Like, that's part of the game. First of all, your character isn't adversarial in terms of the storyline.
Because you're a chick with no armor.
She's passive-aggressive.
Die.
Yeah. Like,
says she's fine, but really, she hates you inside.
You're this 100-pound woman running around this very busy city. Lots of people are running after you with guns. You're not supposed to fight them. But you do learn, okay, you can disarm them. It's actually got a pretty good fighting system, to be honest, considering the type of game it is.
Considering that it's in first person.
The problem is, though, it's really easy to deal with one enemy. If you walk up to the enemy, you can take his gun away and knock him in the head with it. You can shoot other guys with a gun if you have them. But the instant you get into a situation with more than one enemy, it becomes really, really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And you're just being nice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's not just really hard. It's like, you know,
it's frustrating.
I had to try it time and time and time and time and time again. And the thing is, they say you're supposed to avoid the enemies, so I don't try to fight them. And then I realize, okay, I'm going to have to interact with them. But when I do, it becomes really difficult. Now, another thing, they didn't just say you should avoid enemies. They teach you how to deal with them, and they say, if you're going to, you should isolate them. All right, so that's the trick. I was supposed to realize, oh, wait, last chapter they said I should isolate the enemies in order to beat them because, as I mentioned, it's really easy to defeat one enemy.
Right.
My problem with this is that there's also no real way – there's no, like, built-in function to isolate them. There's the old, like, just – get him interested in you and kind of walk away and hope that you bring him to a position where no other guy walked around the other side of the object.
Kind of sounds
so that
like
you have two guys fighting you at once.
Kind of sounds like dating.
Yeah, well,
sometimes.
So, I mean, eventually I took care of it, but like I felt bad. I didn't want to shoot them with the gun. So I figured, well, how else? I'm just going to disarm all these guys. But then I end up doing the same disarm routine every time. No, I disarmed them
all.
You
have to shoot them.
No, I did this. Well, you're just a gun.
Later in the game, you have to get like this machine gun and mow people down. Like, there's no other option.
Well, there's something that you settled on that really piqued my interest, which was that, okay, enemy alone, almost trivial. No problem once you know what to do, right? Enemies with each other, now suddenly it becomes almost intractable.
It's not even
right?
that. Like, they make you able to take a certain number of bullets.
Okay.
Right? So, clearly, like, dealing with one person, unless they have a machine gun, it's going to be easy. No matter how you do it. If you want to punch him, if you want to kick him, if you want to slide into him, you want to jump kick him, you want to disarm him. However you want to do it, you're going to be able to handle one person unless you're a moron.
Right. So this, I find this really interesting because this is not the first time this kind of thing has occurred in a game. And in fact, I find it rather common. I think I was thinking of, like, Oblivion and Morrowind. They do this where the enemies, one by themselves. Can we turn his mic off already?
His
first segment and you're joining into this?
His intention is to be disruptive. You go ahead.
All right. So the way that Oblivion is interesting and related to this is that, for example, one enemy by itself is rather trivial. You can parry, you can dodge them, you can deal with them, right, a one-on-one. When you're dealing with two at once, it becomes way, way more difficult only because, really, the enemies aren't cognizant of each other, right? And so, I mean, I don't get into fights real frequently, right? But when there's two on one and two people are punching you at the same time, it's kind of hard to defend yourself in two directions at once. And especially in a game when the game mechanics are designed to be one on one, a lot of times, you know, when developers put more enemies in a situation, now the enemies really haven't been designed to work together, even be cognizant of each other to fight you, and you get a situation like this where you just can't deal with them all at once. Yeah. You get crushed.
It doesn't step up the difficulty. It takes it from easy to impossible.
So I'll have a few more words on that when we come back. And
all right.
Maybe more disruptions by Rich.
Woo. We'll get a break and be right back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Unless you want to buy me one.
Excuse me. It's my turn to intro the show.
Sorry.
Rich wants me to buy him a 360.
Well, I'd like you to buy me a 360.
Well, you're the
well.
One complaining that I don't have one.
So, I need at least
five of them.
360s.
Yeah.
So, I can play Forza 2 with three screens, one screen dedicated to my rearview mirror, plus one screen dedicated to real-time race status.
Do you have that many screens?
That's the least of my worries
right
now.
That's half of it.
I have screens.
Oh, okay.
My worry is that we wouldn't actually have a Switch, like a LAN Switch that could handle that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe get
how many do you need?
I'd like you to buy me
a five
port router.
I have
as well.
One wireless adapter.
Port router.
I have a wireless adapter.
You could buy a Switch for like dirt cheap. That's just
okay. Anyway.
Anyways.
Getting back on topic.
The topic of our wonderful sponsor, UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. Which can help you get into the industry by becoming a developer or any other
part of video games.
You're talking about Oblivion?
UAT.edu. Visit the University of Advancing Technologies website. I got to do it. It's nice. Got to do it.
It's a very soothing voice when you do that.
Yeah.
So we're talking about cognizant enemies.
So, no, it's interesting because some games, when they make – when they actually write the behavior of enemies, they do it – so that each enemy, and this is not like, usually it's an oversight, right? Usually it's, you know, they write the enemy's behavior where the enemy is really only cognizant of the player. And it's not really cognizant of, you know, another enemy if they're attacking at once. And so the enemies don't do anything to actually either coordinate their attacks or kind of like throttle back their attacks to prevent them from actually, you know, attacking you several times in a row. And the interesting thing is usually, you know, when when a player package is designed, right, what moves the player has and the timings and all that, it's usually designed in a context of just dealing with one enemy. So I could be totally wrong, but my guess is that the way they designed Mirror's Edge is that your character was only basically designed to dispatch one enemy at a time and vice versa. And so now when you confront multiple enemies, they all attack you pretending that they're just fighting you and there's just one of them. And so, you know, if you have a move to block or dodge, it doesn't really work so well because that move was never really anticipated to be kind of integrated with, you know, the rate of two or three or more enemies attacking at once. And I think the same similar thing is in Oblivion.
They mix it up a bit in Mirror's Edge.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I'm kind of curious if there's other games. I mean, you know, other games that do this. There are some games where it's exactly the opposite, right? Like Mark of Kree, for example, your character, the way the whole game is designed, is around attacking multiple enemies at one time.
Dude, I wonder how many people even remember that game.
Mark of Kree.
Yeah.
It's not really
I've never played
quite
it, but
that
I know what
old,
it is.
But it is.
It's PS2, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It's
an early PS2 game that had anytime a character would come on the screen, they would have a symbol above their head.
Yeah, maybe not the best remembered game.
But like, so if you had four guys on screen, you would have one guy with an X, one guy with an O, one with a square, triangle, right?
You're right.
Right. And so if you wanted to attack one guy, you just hit that symbol, right? So the whole point is you can attack everyone on screen. And I presume they didn't give you more than, you know, four or eight characters on the screen at once.
They had, I haven't played the game extensively, but they had several they had situations where you would engage with several enemies at once.
L1X, L1 square. Right?
And oh yeah, yes, well probably that. Not, you know, all of those more than that at once. But I mean, it was interesting system, and you know, a system like that was designed from the ground up to take care of these kind of like multiple interactions.
Yeah. Cool. Whereas other games don't do as good a job. Now, again, the whole point of what's this game I'm talking about?
Mirror's Edge.
That's the name of it.
Mirror's
Edge is to avoid fighting. So I can appreciate that. But like they say, okay, you should isolate people. Then they don't quite give you a real methodology for isolating.
It almost seems like they're like, oh man, these enemies are really hard that we made. Let's just tell the player to avoid them.
The thing that Mirror's Edge runs into is the same problem that I think what's the game called now? Holy cow.
That game has not been made yet.
Rockstar, where you kill people viciously. Manhunt. It falls victim to the same thing as Manhunt does, in that it takes this idea of like you need to run around, you need to avoid people or disarm them and then run away and get from point A to point B, where Manhunt was obviously you need to sneak around, kill one person viciously at a time, and then continue on your way. At the end of Manhunt, it says, oh, here's a super gun, and now there's 40 people with guns trying to shoot you. Shoot them back. And it ruined the entire game. And you haven't gotten to the end of Mirror's Edge yet, but spoiler alert, there's like 40 people with guns, and the only way to fend them off is by shooting them with other large guns. And it kind of...
Maybe you're just not good enough to have beaten them
No, it's literally you run through this area, and room A has 6 people in it. Room B, when I tried to run past them, has another 7 people in it. When I try to run past them, there's like 2 guys with machine guns like behind this. Like it wasn't Mirror's Edge anymore, and like that was frustrating.
They're all angry at you for being so
like,
passive
like
aggressive.
There's like 15 people with guns, and I'm in the middle of them, and there's nowhere for me to run until I kill them, and then I can go to the next area.
Okay, so from the analysis of Mirror's Edge, what have we learned?
Designer, really cool.
Avoid enemies. If you make a game and you find out that engaging in enemies is way too hard, then tell the player to avoid them.
Really?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Right. No, it's a really cool game without all of the enemies.
And also, don't go where you're not supposed to.
Don't go where you're not supposed to. That's always a good tip.
Well, there's a nice red ladder leading up to exactly where I was.
Yeah.
So there had to be a purpose there.
Okay, well, speaking of things you're not supposed to do, I want to relate to you guys and all you other guys, and maybe even a girl or two out there, possibly, although there's a very remote chance. So there's a funny little experience I had online over the weekend, right?
You're on the internet?
And I was actually playing Xbox Live.
I thought you canceled Xbox
again.
Live.
I did, and then I got it again, and now it just canceled
Is this like
again.
The 12th time?
It's, yeah, about the 40th time.
Oh, okay.
So,
continue.
So I was playing Forza 2 online, right? And, you know, I've told you guys about situations where, okay, you know, you're playing online, you're trying to be serious, and someone else is just futzing around and trying to just be a major D-bag and, you know, mess with you, right?
Yep. Hey, Ara, how many times have you been on the forum this week?
None.
All right, continue with your Forza story.
Too busy.
I'm sorry, I just...
Okay, so I'm racing on this track, right? And I have seen... What I experienced was this kind of shenanigans taken to a level so far beyond what I ever expected, right? So not only... First, it started out, right, with just the dorks, you know, driving around backwards trying to crash into people, right?
Yes.
And so this was pretty fun. This is fun if you can actually avoid them.
Yeah.
That's the best feeling in the world. It's even, I think, even more fun than just, like, playing a regular race where everyone's playing by the rules. If you can actually avoid these guys that are trying to ram everybody.
So don't you realize these people are trying to bring you joy? They're trying to create for you a better game experience?
Well, they had. They had, because... What happened next was, after I dodged about 3 of these turkeys, I turn around in a corner, and I'm going down this straight at
these turkeys, these hoodlums.
About 120 miles an hour, and what do I see? There's 2 cars parked on the road.
Oh my god.
Perpendicular to the road, facing each other, completely blocking the entire tarmac. Just sitting there, pointing at each other. Right?
So waiting, they're acting as a roadblock, essentially.
Yes, they literally roadblock. This was like a concerted effort among strangers to roadblock the entire course.
What makes you think they were strangers?
Well, maybe they weren't, but it's a lot more fun if you think they were. And I was just amazed. I was like, this is incredible. This is like This is like, you know, this is like breaking out of the fourth wall or something.
This is a metagame, man.
Yeah, and I was even more proud of myself because I actually dodged them, right? So,
but that's great, dude.
This is fantastic.
They remade the track for you.
They did remake the track, yes.
All right, so
this is creativity on a level I'd never imagined.
So what I would like from our listeners who are either in the live chat or to call in, 866-536-1100, by the way, what online multiplayer game do you think we could perform the most shenanigans in with the fewest number of players? Like just Rich and I, or Rich and I and someone, you know, one of our listeners, how could we sort of rewrite a game like that?
Right. Well, that's one thing you can do.
I remember Will
Wright.
You
can roadblock.
Will Wright said years ago in some GDC session where he was talking that he was playing a first-person shooter game. What is that, like, massively online multiplayer
Halo?
Game? No, by Sony. It's not Tribes.
At Home.
It might be
Planet
Tribes.
Side. Planet Side.
I think it's Planet Side.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. It could be a totally different game. He was just saying he's playing this game. It's massively multiplayer. And he decided one day, instead of, like any other first-person shooter game, there's basically two sides, and they're just trying to kill each other. The whole point is run around and kill each other. And he said, you know what, there's no exact rule, nothing that says you have to be killing the other side. So, like, what if I walk up to these people and chat with them and try to convince them, you know, put down their differences and just hang out? Like, why kill each other?
Okay. Did he actually try to do this or just think about it?
No, he did. He said he was amazed at, you know, how many people he was able to convince, or not necessarily amazed, but he was impressed that he was able to successfully convince some people to put down their armaments and instead just enjoy the company of others in the game.
Wow. So he literally asked people to stop fighting in a game where the only point is to fight.
Yes. Well, I don't know how he did it. I don't know the convincing methods that he used.
Well, maybe he's just that charismatic a character.
But he was able to get in the game and suggest, hey, let's...
I mean, it's Will Wright.
Let's not fight.
And, I mean, if anyone's going to be able to pull that off, I guess it should be Will Wright.
But I mean, what he was doing, he was rewriting the game there. Now, I don't know what objectives were created after that point. Maybe the objective was, see how many people we get to not fight, get
this
in a room, and then one person throw in a grenade to kill them all.
Because
that's what Rich would do. But that was interesting to me. And it made me realize the game is what you make of it. Not
sometimes
what's proposed to you.
We'll keep talking about this.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
Chatterbox Video Game Radio. So,
you just got me excited.
So what are we talking about?
Well, we're going to continue talking about stuff, and then we decided to get high during break.
Yeah, man.
No, we didn't actually do that, but...
Where's the water displacing sound effect?
No, we might actually switch gears a bit. Right during break, I was getting Rich excited because I explained to him that Peggle is coming out.
Yes, I don't understand what's so exciting about Peggle. I mean,
Peggle... You have colors, and you have a ball, and you shoot it.
Okay, sounds like acid to me so far.
It's so awesome. Like it's just so fun. Like it's easy. It's just one of those games.
We all know you like that.
No, I know. It's just one of those games you can just sit and relax and play, and it's not like you have to like think like, I don't know. It's just really fun to play.
See, remember what I said last week? This is yet again contributing to my theory that sometimes people just do not want to be challenged.
Yeah, you don't. It's challenging, but it's not. And in that, when you play these levels, they're hard. But like,
and even more so if you're inebriated.
65% of it is like luck on you just shoot it, and it gets a lucky bounce. But there is skill in using certain items or abilities in the game.
So it's like poker.
I don't know. It's not poker, but
it's like blackjack.
It's one of those games that you can just play and keep playing,
except
and then
you're losing money.
And then you get to a level that like you have to play six times, and then when you beat it, you feel a high sense of accomplishment, even though you've pretty much done nothing.
So here's what I'm excited about.
I have yet to experience that in a game, by the way.
It's coming out for Live Arcade, and then in April, it's going to come out on Xbox 360 disc,
which is sweet,
in a PopCap Games Volume 2 package.
Ooh, what else is on?
Two other games. Well, I don't recall. But two other games. Feeding Frenzy 2 is one of them.
Okay.
And then, you know, one other game.
Okay.
I read about it on Joystick. Who cares?
Cool.
But apparently Peggle. So,
Since my memory is, since I apparently have, like, anterograde amnesia or something, all I can remember is that we were on a fascinating topic before we went to break, and now I have no
recollection. We were talking about, like, you hitting cars in Forza.
Yes!
Metagames.
Which
yes.
is not...
So you don't want to switch gears anymore?
I don't know what that means.
Metagames? Here's the
mean?
Thing. Here's
a,
the
a
thing.
A new game that wasn't intended in the original game.
Well,
is that emerging,
I mean,
gameplay?
That word has a couple of different definitions. But anyway,
See, I thought we were going to change. But let's keep going.
No,
yeah, I don't know.
There's more ground to cover here.
We can talk about Puzzle Quest.
There's now
we do have a caller who may have a metagame idea for us.
This is very true. So, one thing that I find really interesting is going to relate to achievements, right? There's actually, I read some material that apparently, you know, there's been a lot of discussions about achievements and also the... What's your problem, dude?
I'm just breathing.
Yeah. Okay. Come on. More distractions. That's
just ignore me.
Excellent
Aura.
Radio show here. All right. So.
Alan likes it. I know. Look at him
yeah,
smiling.
Yeah. He. You just want to delay me getting to the topic. All right.
You have such
possible.
ADD. It's fascinating to me.
I'm easily distracted. What can I say?
Like yeah. I said.
This is very true. So okay. So now. Microsoft has apparently some kind of secret rule about developers not being allowed to put in achievements that will. Encourage people to do crazy things online, right?
Really?
Now, what's an example? Like, here's an example, right? In another one of the racing games, right? In like Grid, for example, this achievement is actually in the game, but there's an achievement of you roll the car 20 times.
And well, is it a burnout game?
No. It's a legitimate. I mean, unless you're playing on the demo derby, otherwise it's a legitimate racing game. But you get the achievement if you roll the car 20 times, right? So now you can imagine if there's this achievement that some people may choose to do this online instead of the regular game. And there were some situations in, I don't know, there was a first-person shooter. I forget which one it was. But I think that there was a situation where there's a specific achievement that was causing problems because people were trying to get that achievement while playing online, and it was incredibly disruptive to normal gameplay.
Yeah, no, that's actually really interesting. Now, like Little Big Planet, people make levels all the time to achieve a certain trophy. There might be one for traveling a certain speed or going a certain height, right? So they'll give you a cart with rockets on it and say, boom, you're at the highest height, yay. Or you get a trophy for having so many points, right? Which are useless trophies, but that doesn't affect online gameplay. That's just, you know, you go to a certain level or people build a certain level in order to achieve that, which I find interesting in and of itself. But what you're saying is even worse because it actually... It affects the game and then detracts right. from it, so maybe people won't want to play online.
And this is one reason why I don't like those crazy, crazy achievements.
On this topic, there's... Like,
they should just make achievements not achievable during like online gameplay.
NBA
right. well, either
2K7
that
or something.
Don't make silly, crazy achievements.
It was like NBA 2K6 or 2K7 or one of these games had the most ridiculous achievement ever. And it's like, play online while there are X amount of other people online. And, like, nobody ever played the game online. So I remember there was a dig. It was, like, on dig, like, 2 years ago where everybody's like, okay, if you own this game, get online at this time.
Because we want to get the achievement.
All play. And, like, a whole bunch of people got the achievement. And then nobody's ever going to get the achievement ever again because nobody's ever going to play that game online again.
Yeah, this is just
it was
silly.
Ridiculous. It was
and then
hilarious.
They made a website specifically for that achievement, the
no,
Achievement
yeah,
Club.
It was
we
like a
got
big
the
thing.
NBA 2K7 achievement.
It was like a
I'm
big
making
plan.
That up. But, you know, who cares? But even an achievement like there's some that just say play so many online matches.
Right.
Right. Even that ruins gameplay because it gets people interested in just, you know, clicking the button to play in the game and then they just sit there.
Yeah.
And then they become a non-playing character.
This is my problem when they have these achievements that are, you know, I call these the weird achievements, right? They're bizarre. They're not something. Now, some people like them because they're like, oh, it increases replayability because then I get to spend, you know, 4 hours
it's
trying to do something that I would never.
I'm hoping they didn't use the word replayability because it's actually the opposite of that. It encourages you to do a single thing one time.
Well, it just depends on how they make the achievements. I mean, like Gears of War 2, though, the online play is not very good, disappointingly.
Yeah, I mean,
the way they've set up their achievements is just saying, get X amount of kills with this weapon or this weapon or this weapon. So it encourages you to continue playing or just get X amount of kills overall. It's like a billion kills. Not really. I made that number up.
Like, that makes sense.
But
it takes,
that makes sense.
What is a normal goal of the game? And just extends it.
And then continue to do that a whole bunch or do that well.
That, I can imagine, doesn't interfere with the gameplay.
No.
Probably not.
But times where it just says, like, play 50 online matches, stuff like that, which is a common type of achievement for, you know, various online games. Like, trophies for Little Big Planet are very much, you know, interact with other people, create this many levels. That results in a glut of crappy levels.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, I can agree with you. Let's not introduce those. Anyway, while we've got a few minutes left before the end of the segment, let's take our callers. Is Scott still on the line? Yeah.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, there he is, Scott.
What's up, Scott?
You're on the air with Chatterbox.
I guess.
Hello.
What up?
Not much. You guys were talking about Mirror's Edge a little while ago.
We were, in fact, talking about Mirror's Edge.
Actually, I really like the game because of...
What took you so long? We were talking about that like 2 seconds ago.
He did call.
Call.
All right. I blame Rich.
Yeah, it's my fault over here. Anyways,
Mirror's Edge. Blame Rich.
As the hostess, what's your question?
I was getting there.
What's the question? Caller, what's the question?
Okay, back in Mirror's Edge, actually, I noticed that the... how far did you get in Mirror's Edge, just so I know, Alon?
Now he's sizing you up.
No, I played through to the end of Chapter 2, which, for those who aren't familiar, is not a huge amount of the game, but it is about 2 hours.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, the narrative, especially in the later levels, actually ends up... increasing pretty well, and I'm expecting it's probably going to influence a bunch of games in the future, probably around 5 years when people actually realize it. But when it comes to the later levels, actually, you do need to get into combat. And actually, one of the things they're trying to do is if they give you a group of people, it's more of a signal. And I know this is kind of an awkward way of saying this, and they try to tell you the turbo tip, but... the point was to make you avoid the entire group if at all possible. If you cannot isolate a person away from the group, you shouldn't be attacking them. You should be finding the way around. Usually, for example, on the first level, there is two guards, and you can actually jump on the wall beside them and get to the end, completely bypassing them.
Yeah, I'm with you. I understand that's the goal, avoid people altogether. But there was certainly a part... in the middle of Chapter 2 or towards the end of Chapter 2, that you absolutely had to deal with these enemies. Well, I mean, I'm sure there was a way to avoid them.
And
the thing is, I couldn't take the time to figure out what I was supposed to do because I was just getting my ass kicked.
Yeah.
Now, if I went through it again, I could probably go through without fighting them now that I know where to actually go.
Actually, my worst problem with Mirror's Edge was finding out where I was supposed to go in the first place. I find when I have the people kind of chasing me, because that's what happens when you run, they chase you, right?
Yeah.
I found that I was ending up pressing the B button, which is the look where you're supposed to go button, and I was just not figuring out before they caught up to me until, like, the second or maybe third in some cases.
Well, I would argue that maybe you're just not any good at the game.
Well, that's why I ended up just killing everybody, because it was impossible to focus on going somewhere and getting there and figuring out how to get there while being killed simultaneously.
That actually reminded me of one other problem I had to the game. So
it's hard to do a lot while you're getting killed.
Scott's right. It is hard. Sometimes it's hard to figure out where to go because the runner's vision doesn't necessarily lead a direct path for you. But again, like, it's trying to be open and not give you a very specific path. So I like that. But at the same time, you end up pressing the B button. And what's great about it is that it automatically turns you to that direction. So if you're pressing up to go forward...
But not while you're running.
No, while you're running.
While you're running.
If you're holding up, it'll turn you, except if you're near a ledge, you'll end up then falling off the ledge, which nice. I experienced one time. A little frustrating. But now that I know to avoid that, I'll, just have to slow down when I press the B button.
That's fantastic.
By the way, Little Mirror's Edge minigame, jump and try to hit traffic.
All right, we're going to break.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox, video game radio.
Sponsored by the University of Advancing Technology. Head over to UAT.edu to learn more about the programs offered by the University of Advancing Technology.
All right. So I want to talk this segment about something that I think we've all known or had an inkling about, but Now, apparently, it's verified by science. And what's that? It's if you tell a kid not to do something, they're going to want to do something.
They want to do it more.
More even, right?
It's so, like, sorry, I just thought of the, this is sort of in Futurama. I don't know if you know, when the grandpa scientist is like, whatever you do, don't open the box. Like, they have the box. And Fry goes, I don't know what's inside that box, but I've never wanted it any more than anything in my entire life.
Yes, like, for example.
It's like that.
it's just human nature, right? When there was peanut butter salmonella, right?
I want peanut
before
butter.
Before that, no desire for peanut butter. Now, peanut butter salmonella, all I want to eat is I just want to stuff my face with peanut butter and just spread it all over my body. I don't know why. I can't have it. I want it.
Is that true?
Well, not the rubbing over body
part.
Sales
of peanut butter have decreased.
But I did, well, probably because of the salmonella.
There's less on the market.
Anyway, what's my point? My point is that, so there's an article in the Chicago Tribune reporting that in the March issue of a journal called Pediatrics, there was a study done where they basically took about 300 Dutch children. Now maybe the results only
not
apply
Dutch
to
chocolate
Dutch
children, just Dutch.
Just Dutch children. But I think we can apply this to people in general and kids in general, from ages 7 to 17, right? And they basically had
50 kids. That's a huge
300.
Oh, I think you said 50. I don't know why I thought you said 50.
I don't know.
Moving on.
So they gave them these fictitious descriptions of these games, right? I mean, the games were fictitious, right? The descriptions were actual descriptions. But they said, okay, now, after reading a description of this game, now, how much do you want to play it, right? And they found out that, oh, what? Big surprise. The more objectionable the content, the more the kids want to play it, right? And so the funny thing about all of this is that, you know, there's any time in the media when violence in games gets attention, it does nothing but make kids want to play the violent games more, and it also does nothing but make the violent games that, you know, the kids that are not appropriate for kids, it does nothing but make them more and more visible to everybody, and especially the kids, which then feeds back into them wanting to play them more and more. So what's my point? My point is that if we didn't make a big deal about these things, then it probably wouldn't be a big deal. The fact that we have people like, you know, that crazy Lieutenant Grossman who every few years shows up in the mass media and says, oh, these first-person shooters are murder simulators, right? So that gets broadcasted on network TVs, and then all the kids from coast to coast are like, yeah, I want to play that game. That's the one I want.
I just figured something out.
What's that?
Jack Thompson actually works for Take-Two.
Yes.
There you go.
He's the biggest advertiser for Grand Theft Auto.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny, but effectively, seriously, that's...
If he was getting paid by Take-Two, that'd be hysterical.
That would have broken out by now, though. That would be funny.
That would be fantastic. But here's the funny part, right? The researchers suggested that policymakers rethink their classifications because they asserted that when you classify a game, and for example, as M and appropriate for 17 and older, all that does is make it unspeakably desirable for people not in that age group, which I find interesting.
Yeah. That's why I watched so much porn before I was 18.
That's right.
And then as soon as I hit 18, it was all downhill from there.
Yeah. So
maybe it was just because I learned everything I needed to know.
So
I don't know.
I mean, this kind of effect, I mean, you can apply it to so many areas of life.
So given like that this drugs. Is so commonsensical, why do I care?
Because it's funny.
Okay. It's funny.
Because it took them that long to figure it out?
Well, yes, because we need to have apparently a study in the issue of pediatrics to tell us this.
Does that...
One problem, I think, just with the way that we exist these days in general is that even things that are commonsensical, we always need to prove with numbers. And so we just waste money on scientific studies to prove what we already knew.
We don't waste money. We use money.
Okay.
Right.
So I wanted to point out right at the end of Scott's phone call, he tried to throw out there. I don't know if people heard this. We had asked for metagames, right, from from our listeners, and he said, jump off buildings and land on cars. And now I, when I jump off buildings in Mirror's Edge, everything goes black and I don't really see anything, but I haven't been in an area that's low enough near traffic. Maybe later in the game there will be. But yeah. I just want to point out, you know, 2 points to him, metagame of listening to the radio show for actually giving us a response. Feel free to email us, chatterboxgameshow.com, and we'll maybe talk about those next week.
Especially your ideas of
stopping traffic.
Harassing, frustrating, or otherwise just doing some shenanigans in online games for or against other players' benefit.
It would be funny if we took a few people and went on and just tried to totally break a game. I'm sure it's been done before, but I haven't done it.
Let's do it. What game should we do it to?
Yes, but never has it been done so methodically.
Perhaps we could just choose one person at random and harass him just endlessly.
You guys, right? You guys are
just called griefing.
Whatever game he has, griefers. We all pop it in and we join whatever match he's in and we just screw with him.
That's just griefing. It's not a metagame. Although very fun.
No. We would
end up in a game where we can't force a match with him. That's the problem.
We need to take griefing to the next level. See, that's just very adolescent.
Or we all show up at his house and beat him up.
Throw eggs at him.
No, we would never encourage such violent behavior.
So in the chat room, they're wondering if we're going to bring up the lesbian band from Xbox Live.
Yes, I had this right here.
Who cares?
And well, no, it's
there was, you know, I read about it, but then there was an update that I didn't keep on.
Well,
keep up.
Microsoft has a policy, and their policy is it's a sensible policy.
Don't talk about sex in your gamer tag.
Yeah, basically there's to be no discussion of anything sexual online.
But why is saying that you're a lesbian sexual?
Okay,
well,
because it's sexual orientation.
Sexual orientation. Right?
It's just against their policy because it's a family friendly live.
So am I allowed to say I'm a Republican? Because that presumes that I'm heterosexual.
I don't think that's against the policy.
Am I allowed to say I'm Christian? I mean, I'm not.
Well, see, that's...
I think you could say that.
This is where the argument, the discussion becomes interesting because it's, you know, has how sexualized is sexual orientation? For example, if I put on my gamer tag...
What's her gamer tag?
Hold on. Arashir.
No, what's her gamer tag?
Oh, I don't know. They're not going to
see. Nobody cares. Like, nobody knows what it is.
No, because it's banned.
It could have been, like, something ridiculous, but nobody knows.
I've got an important point to say, so... So, if I put on my profile, I like girls, right? Now, am I going to get banned?
That's...
Well, girls infers
that's as sexually charged
18.
As saying you're a lesbian.
Right. But well, maybe I just like girls. Maybe I just like them. Without being sexual. Maybe, what if I put, I like boys?
That sounds pretty bad.
Or then what if I put, I like
cars.
Men? Or, yes, and then like where's this threshold? I like, maybe we should start putting some of this stuff in our gamer tags and see if it gets any of us banned or something.
Well, I'm not interested in getting banned.
I'm not interested in getting banned, but I am kind of interested in exploring the fringes of this envelope here.
The problem is that it's objective. I'm sure there's no rule set. It's one person in...
Subjective.
Xbox. Yes, you're right. One person in the Xbox headquarters decides that it's against the rules. Meanwhile, I could talk to big old Aaron Greenberg and show him a picture holding my joystick sexually. And
it'd be funny.
Yeah, and it's just funny.
It comes down to you have a gamer tag in other people that you play with report your gamer tag as offensive, and so then after it gets enough reports, somebody there looks at it and goes, okay, let's ban it.
I think that's what happened in
Buck
this case,
Fitches
actually.
Buck Fitches is a perfect example. His gamer tag was Buck Fitches, which is hilarious, which in itself isn't – there's nothing wrong with those two words, but it's really funny, and people found it offensive. So, of course, all he did was change one letter. He changed a letter to a number. Doom, done. Hasn't been banned since. So
people
who knows what her gamer tag is?
Right.
Her gamer tag could have been like things I'm not going to say on air, which would infer that she's a lesbian. And so maybe somebody found that offensive. And so they said, yeah, a bunch of people said it was offensive. So they banned her name.
Right. So, this goes back to what I was saying months ago, which is some people feel this entitlement against being offended.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I understand Xbox Live is supposed to be family friendly.
I'm offended when people blockade my road.
And I'm offended when other people get banned from Xbox
Live.
Well,
you could report them in your... You could go on Xbox Live and say these people are bad to play with. It actually does work because when people get enough complaints against them, they get a message saying, hey, stop doing that, and then they get banned.
Now, I should point out, What Up G in our chat room, the name What Up G, he says that Major Nelson's latest podcast addressed this issue and that there may be some changes. They haven't announced anything yet, but... interesting to me because I mean there are people with the last name Gaylord. So if the guy would have put in last
name or even gay is a name.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
I can say I'm gay. I'm happy.
Some guy in Missouri just changed his whole name to They. Did you know that? This is totally off topic, right? No last name, just his name is They.
Okay, well I guess it's better than the kid who is named like Adolf Hitler, Nazi world or whatever.
I don't know, but that's amazing. So he changed his name to They. To make fun of the fact that people use the word they to just mean anybody. But what I think is funny is that
now... That joke went right over my head.
Now to say, they's out to get me is grammatically correct. I don't know if anybody realized that.
You set that one up. That was a good setup.
No, it's true. I read it somewhere. Well,
they's, all right.
It's true. I read it online. But I think it was in CNN or something.
Yeah, it sounds like they's out to get us
in
off
Brantford,
the air.
Missouri. Yeah. All right. Well, we're obviously at the end of the show. So we're going to go. Feel free to listen in next week when we'll be on an hour later for anyone not in Phoenix or in an area code that changes. Time changes again on the 8th.
Snap. For everyone but us Arizona.
Yeah, so instead of 8 p.m. on the West Coast, 11 p.m. East Coast, we're going to be 9 p.m. West Coast, midnight East Coast. So
What?
Yes, check your notices on our website and all that. ChatterboxGameShow.com. And that's about it. We'll roll back next week. See you, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.